If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on... on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space! And I'm about to die!
You need an opening.
Found one!
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rebels Reactions. I'm your host, Aaron Harris, and this is the Chopper episode I have been waiting for. Yes, Double Agent Droid is the episode and the topic of conversation for today. And man, I know it's been mixed reviews out there, but you know what? I enjoyed it. And it's not just because it was Chopper, but it was because of everything that happened in the episode. So I'm looking forward to a great discussion tonight. And joining me for this discussion is a good friend of mine, co-host of Legends Library on the Coffee with Kenobi Network, Mr. Randy Therio. Randy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Aaron?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. This is going to be a great discussion on a fun episode. This was definitely an episode that has caused a lot of mixed reviews out there. So we're not going to hesitate into jumping in with both feet. Double Agent Droid, of course, takes place where Wedge, it's good to see good old Wedge Antilles again, Wedge, AP-5 and Chopper are sent on a secret mission to infiltrate a Imperial base there on Killen, the Killen station, mm-hmm. where they are planning on stealing some Imperial codes that they need for their upcoming attack on the Lothal factories. So things don't go exactly as planned, where while during the infiltration, Chopper gets identified as a droid by the Imperial security forces. And when he tries to hack into the terminal, gets taken over by the Imperials and becomes an Imperial spy himself. So, of course, chaos ensues as AP-5 knows something's wrong with Chopper. And unfortunately, things go wrong as the Ghost crew gets in trouble. And eventually, of course, leading to a big scene at the end where, of course, Hera makes it well known, you don't mess with my droid. So,
right.
Definitely a lot of fun, a lot of entertainment there, and a musical number by AP5, too. We'll get into all of that here on Reactions tonight. But let's go ahead and start, Randy, with this episode. Of course, after watching Double Agent Droid for the first time, what were your initial thoughts about this episode?
Oh, well, my initial thoughts were, maybe what at face value, what some people might think would be, this is a filler episode. There wasn't a lot, the ball wasn't really moved up the field very much. And after I considered, before I watched it a second time, I really considered that and considered, and even hearing on Rebels Recon, hearing Dave Filoni kind of mention that, you know, oh, people are going to think this is a filler and he's okay with that. They can't all be season finales or whatever. But really taking the episode into consideration and kind of rising above that, like, kind of knee-jerk reaction and finding my place at it. To where I really appreciated this episode, not only because I did consider that it did move the ball up the field, and then there's an artistic beauty, or you know, with the musicals and the comedy kind of thrown in there, I thought it was risky, and I always want to give Dave Filoni props for taking risks, and that's kind of the George Lucas in him, you know, that he's willing to take a risk and throw, you know, a singing droid in there or whatever, you know. So I really came to appreciate this episode and then watched it a second time and definitely had my thoughts confirmed and my mindset confirmed and really enjoyed it the second time as well. So I can't wait to talk more about the episode specifically, but overall I thought it was a really fun episode.
Perfect. Yeah, and I have to agree with you. Definitely, I thought it was a great episode from the get go. Definitely, it doesn't have the depth or the intensity as some of the other episodes that we've seen throughout this season and throughout Rebels altogether. But still, it was a great episode. This was a simple. I mean, to me, this was a simple reminder that hey. This is still a kid's show. It's a cartoon. It's on Disney. It's still designed and patterned for kids. And this was definitely a nod to that. And I appreciate mm-hmm. that. At the same point, though, as soon as the episode went off, I sat there and looked and just thought there's going to be filler backlash on this. And I was right. And I have to say, I completely disagree with the filler talk on this. Nothing they have done to date with Rebels has ever been a filler. In going back to the first season, second season, not a single episode they've done has been filler material. You may not have seen an immediate result of that episode, but eventually you saw the result of the episode. Even with the one that comes to mind most prominently, Princess on Lothal, when Princess Leia shows up and basically even I at the time was like, you know, this is just a way to get Leia into this show. As the MacGuffin, of course, you have the three Hammerhead Corvette cruisers that are delivered and stolen by our ghost crew. But then ultimately, it's not a filler because those Corvettes that were stolen and taken by the Rebellion in that episode led to the victory there on Scarif in Rogue One. I mean, you can't. This is not an arguable thing at this point. So I have an issue with calling this a filler because just because we haven't seen what's going to happen or come from this episode doesn't mean it's not going to impact what happens in the future. The goal of this episode was for them to steal the codes for the attack on the Lothal factories, which they did successfully do. And we'll, as we get into the episode deeper, we'll see that those codes, even though the Imperials had a chance to get them back, they didn't. The Rebellion still has those codes, and the Empire does not know now because of as a result, the ship that knew that they had the codes wind up getting destroyed. So, you know,
Sorry to interrupt. I felt I felt that the episode was a little bit of a victim of maybe poor placement because the last scene in the last episode was, you know, all these rebel ships popping out of hyperspace and you're like, ooh, what's the rest of this story? Which we're going to get the rest of that story. And then we have, you know, a droid episode, which, I mean, that's not this, that shouldn't have any bearing on this episode and your level of enjoyment. But when you're left with that pretty big ending, then to get kind of that conclusion of that story or the continuation of that story kind of put off for a week. Mm-hmm. I can see where some people would be frustrated by it. Just some of the implications of the events that happened during this episode, it does stand alone as a really cool story. And so,
I agree. I mean, yeah, you're dead on. It definitely could be a victim of placement. If this would have been an episode that happened prior to this last episode, Secret Cargo, yeah, definitely, it probably would have had a different crowd reaction at that point. I still mm-hmm. probably think a lot of people would have written it off as a filler, like they're doing now. But I think it was definitely would have been received in a different way. And you're exactly right with that, because the intensity level at the end of Secret Cargo was so high. I mean, there was a Rebel fleet right before our eyes. We were seeing right. something that, you know, not only were we orbiting a planet we'd only heard about in the movies, we were orbiting Dantooine, but the Rebel fleet showed up. We were seeing the medical frigates. We were seeing the corvettes. We were saw the hammerheads again. We saw that we saw the Mon Calamari cruisers from Return of the Jedi in there at one point. I mean this was very, I get chill bumps talking about it. It was a very yeah. chilling episode moment in the Star Wars saga. So not to coming off of that into this, yeah, I can definitely see how that would have that placement would have affected this. So definitely it's something we're gonna that possibly could have been different, but you know what? They put it there obviously for a reason, and obviously yes. When you're going on and I can understand why they would have put it here too, because going up that slope, we've going from Secret Cargo, then if they would have not done this episode, we'd gone from Secret Cargo into Twin Suns, which is coming up, and then the finale.
Right.
So eventually you got to run a bigger risk of, if you're just continuing up a slope, you got a bigger risk of something flopping that you want yes. to be huge. And so I can understand throwing this in to kind of bring the expectation back down before it shoots sky high. Because trust me, Twin Suns is going to be wow. So, because yeah. that's the one everybody's been looking forward to since that last Maul episode when he realized that he's alive and we get the Twin Sun reference. Everybody's known it's been building to this. So,
right
here we go. But until then, we have Chopper at AP5, and we have Wedge infiltrating the base there on Killen. And definitely a lot of interesting situation there as they go through security and they get identified. AP5 and Chopper have a unique relationship, almost a little more slapstickish than the R2 and 3PO. And I love the fact that Steven Stanton, who does the voice of AP5, kind of modeled him very, very dry, very Alan Rickman-ish. I love it. Matter of fact, I nearly fell over when I realized it was Stanton doing it. I honestly thought they had gotten Rickman to do it before he passed. But, you know, I'm loving it.
I love Steven Stanton as well. And I'm a big fan of his Tarkin. He does, Moralo Evol. And so I'm a really big fan of his. And when I found out that he was the voice, of this character, it's cool. Cause you don't really hear his own voice inside of that. When you hear him speak, I can definitely hear it, his voice in his Tarkin. Hearing him do Obi-Wan, gosh, the guy is so talented. They're all talented though, aren't they? I mean, they're all so gifted. And, I just admire all of those guys, all of those voice actors and actresses, just have so much admiration for them and, their versatility and, So he truly is a character. And you're right about the slapstick. It is an R2 C-3PO, maybe the Rebels version of that. But I appreciate that it's a similar slot that it fits in, but it's different. It stands alone. They're kind of bantering and their friendship. It stands alone. It stands on its own 2 feet, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I really have come to appreciate both of it. And I didn't know that the AP droid was going to be have the staying power that it has, and I'm glad for it. It's been really cool. He's been really cool comic relief in this series.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's been a lot of fun watching those AP-5 and Chopper interact, and definitely we see a lot of that in this episode as they go back and forth throughout the episode, trying to get things done and trying to get the very childish banter hit that point. I do it better. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole episode. And of course that leads to the AP5's realization that something was wrong with Chopper after they steal the codes. Cause Chopper winds up apologizing to him. Yeah, definitely something I never thought I'd ever hear come out of my mouth, Chopper apologizing to somebody.
Yeah.
But it did happen in this, and that was the beginning of the telltale sign that something may have been wrong there.
Right, and the idea that I guess that it is that little conversation back and forth, anything you can do, I can do better, you know, and with no melody at all. Yes, I can. No, I can't. You know, you can hear the song actually happening, but it's set up for his song, AP's song later on. And it seemed like it was like your mind was kind of set up for, are they going to sing? This is so funny because it's the song. Anything you can do, I can do better. No, you can't. Yes, I can. And it actually breaks to it, does a commercial break and then comes back. And they're still, they're still kind of speaking the words to that, you know, that old song, but not singing it. And it does set up later on. It almost like there, Dave Filoni was like, I'm going to let this guy sing, but I'm going to ease into it with a spoken version of a song that you're familiar with first. Mm-hmm. And, Chopper, it was his voice in style or whatever, but you can definitely tell, you could definitely tell that there had been a change, and it was really cool to me it showed Chopper's character when he is who he really is, and how AP5 is totally the opposite. And you know, he's so Chopper's so spastic and so emotional and bah, 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 you know, and AP is very slow and deliberate in what he says. And so they're a really good match for one another. And really he's Chopper's translator anytime they're together, which is kind of C-3PO's, you know, role as well.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
No, definitely. You're dead on. I mean, in AP5 is more by the book. He knows the Imperial regulations. He knows what's going on. Like when they were first landed on Killian Station, they go to the stormtroopers instruct them to go through the scanners one at a time, and AP5 is like, I know the procedures. and he just walks through. But then we go right into another comedy situation as they're walking through the halls of the station, and Chopper is just running up behind a mouse droid and keeps bumping it, which was absolutely priceless. I mean, you just see Chopper's playing.
Yeah.
He doesn't take anything really seriously. And it was proven at this point, because at this juncture, because of Chopper's playing around, they split and go different ways, which is what really opens up the opportunity for him to be taken over by the Imperials. And then let's talk about those Imperials for a second. We got
that really
interesting looking Imperial Security Bureau, the ISB listenership, flying through the system, and of course they detect. They have apparently eyes and ears everywhere, as Callus has said in the past. And we have a bunch of guys on a ship running a almost like a NASA control center, Houston type thing, computer monitors everywhere, just a bunch of people sitting there, but a lot quieter. And they all have those nice little Lobot devices on there.
Right, right.
Which was is nice to know the Lobot's not the only one, or even the Rodian from earlier in the season, whose name just slipped my mind.
Is it like SIBO?
SIBO. So we obviously know there are a lot more of these Lobot-style guys out there, and we see a lot of them in this one, and especially controller LT-319, of course, who is the main one that we see in this episode. Right. Of course, everybody made a big deal about him wearing glasses. I'm wearing glasses right now, so it's nice to see a counterpart in the Star Wars universe. But, I'm willing to say everybody's saying it was the first time we've seen glasses in there. I don't think it is. I'm pretty sure we've seen them somewhere before, but hey, c'est la vie. A lot of interesting guy there, very plain and straightforward. He really is the one that blew this for the Empire, ultimately, because he was able to recognize the droid's chopper as the droid infiltrator, rebel infiltrator that Admiral Thrawn had been looking for. And instead of reporting it to Thrawn, he's the one that made the decision to take over the droid and find out where their base is first before reporting to Thrawn. You know, almost like he was angling for a promotion or something. He wanted that recognition. He didn't want to give it to Thrawn and let Thrawn get that recognition. So it was he's the one that cost them everything at that point because they never transmitted what was going on and what was happening, or even that the AP-5 had successfully stolen the computer codes that they needed for the attack on Lothal. Those codes wind up in the hands of the Rebellion at that point.
Well, I didn't pick up on the pride thing. I felt like maybe he was following orders for some reason, and I'm definitely open to correction here, but like it kind of like the don't report something unless you have something to report kind of Nemoidian kind of thing. I don't know, I felt like maybe he wanted to be sure, or he. Because I feel like all of those devices that are on their heads, I don't know if there's actual like data in those devices, but maybe is opening up the human mind so it can run at its fullest potential as far as holding data and processing information, or possibly translating as well, because it's a listening post basically. Though I could see where, and I could definitely be convinced, like, okay, he was prideful. He wanted to take the glory or whatever. But I also felt like he was, wanting to confirm or to go a step further, maybe bad programming, not necessarily his fault. But I also heard Vanessa Marshall's voice in there, the female version. I heard Vanessa Marshall's voice in there too, which was kind of a surprise to me. But I did enjoy those characters, and it does bring up an interesting like conversation in that the Empire is not wanting. Obviously not wanting battle droids, wanting some amount of autonomy. The clone thing failed, so they can't be completely cloned. So we're going to take like kind of people that have already a bent for details and data and statistics, and we're going to kind of use these devices to just open up their mind the rest of the way so they can really process serious amounts of information. And so I'm not quite sure I feel like there's a significance to that, and that like SIBO was a failure, or because he had too much heart or whatever. He had too much heart for freedom, or too much heart for, and he overcame his device in spurts, and he was able to overcome with just, you know, goodness or whatever it is that was in SIBO. But these guys were just definitely obedient. Maybe there's an obedience element to this device that's around their head. Cause that would explain Lobot, like a, you know, I don't know, a loyalty kind of thing going on, but, it's definitely worth, you know, I hope they continue on with this device and continue on with the idea to, instead of putting a chip in a clone's head, now they're putting this device around somebody that is more autonomous than a clone, I guess. But it was definitely interesting and really cool, and none of them were aliens. That fits the Imperial, you know, the Imperial standard or whatever. But I really did like that. Even the ship was cool, you know, with the dishes on top. Like it looked like a listening post. It looked like, you know, they were kind of plunging the depths of space, listening for communication. And the stereotype for those type of people, they're not the most social or whatever, because they're, you know, just listening to static white noise most of their day or whatever. But I know that's a big time stereotype, but you're a sound guy. Yeah. You get that.
I do. And it's all good. You know, I would argue the fact that everything I've always heard and read up on these devices, and I believe I even heard it mentioned during Rebels Recon, was these devices were designed to allow these controllers to interact quicker with the computers. So it was more of an interaction, interlocking. Because even with SIBO, the reason he was such a valuable asset to the Ghost crew when they grabbed him was because he was still currently connected to the Imperial security
network. That makes sense.
They had an open door hack essentially to the Imperial computer network. Now,
wow,
with
cool.
These guys here, particularly, especially being on the listening ship, working directly for ISB, I'm pretty sure these guys are closed off from the open network. So anything they would have learned on the ship, probably for security reasons, is locked down on the ship till they transmit it somewhere.
I got that from that's definitely truth, because I got that from the story. I think we all got that from the story, that there was kind of like this downloading kind of or uploading kind of element, and that information stayed there until it was accessed. And then also, you know, to confirm, you know, your hypothesis or your, you know, what you have found to be true, as the ship was starting to kind of come apart, the electricity or the overpower, I don't know, the surge was actually jumping from their computers to their headsets as well. And so that confirms, you know, this, the purpose, and that there's a connection there, that it's an interface between the human and the computer, and kind of streamlines that. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. It was definitely interesting characters there. And you mentioned Vanessa Marshall voicing one, but the primary one here that we have, the glasses wearing 3-18 controller, Josh Gad voiced him. Josh Gad, of course, best known for voicing the snowman from Frozen.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I just blanked on his name. Oh my gosh.
That's funny.
I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. You would think
so. You have the movie memorized.
The snowman's name. I can sing all the songs from Frozen right now.
I bet. Go ahead.
Nobody wants to hear me sing. Trust me. my gosh, what is that snowman's
name?
That's
so funny.
Bug me now.
That's so good. I feel like right now I'm earning street cred with our listeners, because I don't know it. Like, it's not even on the tip of my tongue. I don't even, Even if I did know it, I'd lie. Oh, yeah. Like, nah, I still don't know it. Nope. Sorry.
Well, unfortunately, I do. And but yeah, Josh Gad, great actor, of course, voicing this Imperial controller, which is definitely interesting. Being having him on board, and a lot of fun having him there. So definitely some interesting things going on here. Because they basically hack into Chopper at that point, taking over his programming, and then they can see everything through Chopper's little eye. Mm-hmm. Again, as they're trying to secure the information and find out the base of operations for the Rebels so they can turn that over. And again, this is my Star Trek reference for the episode. They did to Chopper what the Klingons did to LaForge in the movie Generations, where they hacked into his visor to get the shield frequency for the Enterprise. So everything relates back to Star Trek somehow. I don't know why. last week it was the move with firing their torpedoes into the nebula to do the firestorm, and this time it's using Chopper's visual system to get the information they want. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of drawbacks, and a lot of connections here and there. So
good job. Now all the street cred we earned, we just
went
lost.
Right back out.
Dang. All right. Well, we got a good baseline happening here.
We had a good baseline. You realize this happens to me every time. I always wind up making some kind of Star Trek reference on a Star Wars show, and you know, it happens. I don't know. It just comes to me. I don't know. But awesome. You know what? I would still take the Stormtroopers in a fight because the red shirts would still die. So. Yep. Back on task here. Let's get back to Chopper. And once he's taken over by the Imperials, that's when we start seeing AP5 get suspicious because his whole attitude changes. He starts using Imperial terminology. I mean, at some point, he even tells AP5 he's in Program 16 or General 16, which basically means he's in standby mode. And that AP5 is like, wait, what? You're using Imperial terminology. He's like, then of course you see the conversation developing based on AP5's answers to Chopper's beeps, which obviously he was like, you know, I'm just trying to make you feel comfortable. You know, talking your language here. And he's like, I don't talk that language unless I have to. And you get that whole zap interaction again, and a lot of fun there. And well, I have to say, and it's somebody we only mentioned once at the beginning, the person I feel sorry for the most through this episode is Wedge.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's the newbie. He's a rookie that was sent out with the two droids. You could see that he was, and before this we saw him. I mean, I guess the last scene before this, he bumps into, you know, another Rogue Squadron. I forget who it was. But they kind of bump into each other. So you see his youthfulness. That was like two episodes ago, I think.
Oh, yeah. That was him and Hobby, yeah.
Yeah, Hobby. That's right. And so, you know, they kind of bump into each other and as they're kind of crossing, you know, going different directions or whatever. And now we see him being taken advantage of, like, he's excited to take on, I've got a mission. I've been given a mission. And they're like, Zeb's like, right. You know, you have no idea what you've just asked for. And what, and so it was like fun for them to watch. So, but I did feel sorry for Wedge, especially when he was trying to go to the bathroom. And the zingers too, like, AP, I'm not finished yet. Well, neither was I. So, I'm trying to take a leak here, pal. So,
which brings us to the refresher. Okay.
Yes. So awesome.
We have refreshers on the Imperial shuttle. Apparently, the Lambda-class shuttles do have refreshers on them, which makes sense. But so now the refresher, we get to see the inside of a refresher. And apparently AP5 takes it as a sign that, you know, it's a good way to get privacy, mate. You know, runs in after him, and you know, of course, definitely goes back and forth. He's like, "This is what I know," and of course, you see Wedge begin to get frustrated at that point. But refreshers on, we finally have we got bathrooms in Star Wars now.
Right, and the idea of a fresher is now canon, which it was Legends. You know, there were refreshers, or by the time, you know, towards the end, there were freshers, and you didn't have a watch; you had a chrono and a wrist chrono or whatever. Yep. So all the things that people didn't like about Legends is slowly making its way back into canon, including freshers. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. And speaking of freshers, I'm going to run to the refresher real quick while we let Dan and Corey tell you about the Topps trading app, Star Wars card trading app. So take it away, Dan and Corey.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars card trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars card trade app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan and Corey, for telling us about this Topps Star Wars Card Trader app. A lot of fun. If you download it, check it out. If you decide you want to play and you need somebody to trade with, man, look me up. Big Dog Suey is the username. I will trade with you. And, of course, if it's Chopper or Rebels related, you're probably guaranteed to get your trade. So let's get that. Look me up. Let's trade cards and let's have some fun. So, but let's go back into Double Agent Droid, where we have Chopper going on James Bond on people here as we have some fun. And of course, we left off, we're talking about Chopper and his turn to the dark side, let's in a matter of speaking. He winds up being back on the Ghost, where the Imperials want him to be, and first thing he does, of course, is get caught trying to tap into the logs there on board the Ghost to find out where the base is, and gets caught by Hera, who begins to realize something is wrong because he's talking about missing files, and Hera's like, "I always wipe your files. What are you talking about?" Especially right before missions. So she starts beginning to put together what AP5 was telling her, that something was really wrong with Chopper. And then, of course, things progress worse from there. They wind up all being trapped in the storage container or storage bay, and Chopper blows the airlock to try to kill them all. What's up with that? And of course, we see a lot of stress going on there, a lot of fighting, but Hera winds up saving the day with getting the emergency airlock closed up, and they just figure out a way to get in back into the ship because all the doors are sealed. They can't get out of the cargo bay without sending AP5 out for a spacewalk. So we get AP5 walking around the outside of the Ghost to get done what he needs to get done. And very interesting, because Chopper goes out to stop him. So we got Chopper flying around, kind of doing kamikaze bomb dives on him. And AP5 is trying to hold his ground. Unfortunately, eventually does escape. Or doesn't escape. He gets hit by Chopper, excuse me, and gets knocked off the ship. He goes flying through space. And all by his lonesome. But before that happens, he's managed to get the job done and release the doors, which allow the crew to get out of the cargo bay. And Chopper, of course, comes back on board the ship, doesn't realize everybody's out, and comes around the corner, and Zeb gets to fulfill a lifelong ambition.
Always wanted to do that.
Oh, he most certainly did. He vocalizes it just like that, too, as he takes his staff and zaps Chopper with it till he pretty much is passed out. And definitely, it is a lot of impact there. It takes Chopper out, essentially. Which then, of course, Hera is able to go in and take over her ship again, and realizes that the information spike is connected and they're beginning to download information from the computer as they're searching for the codes. She's able to reverse the information feed and cause a feedback loop on the ship, which winds up eventually destroying it. But not before she's able to communicate with the ISB and tells them, "You messed with the wrong droid."
Yeah. That data spike, I thought, took forever to actually process or do what it was supposed to do. Kind of like Rogue One, like Jedha's explosion. Like, like, how long is it going to take this? You know, the data. Like, whenever you think it's almost done, it was. So it created cool tension. It is what it is. It's a kid's cartoon and stuff, and so there's tension. I loved that Hera got so angry, because it reminded me of the book. A New Dawn, because that she kind of had that kind of edge to her. And I'm trying to think of an exception, but for the most part, she's been more, I don't want to say maternal, but she's been more gentle with the crew and showing more restraint, because now she's, you know, the leader of Phoenix Squadron, and she's a leader. She's got more responsibility. She doesn't have the luxury of just kind of flying off the handle and just being angry. But this time, the Imperials went too far, and I love when Ezra said, "Oh dang," like, "Oh look at it," like, "Hera's pissed," you know, like, "Oh no." Yeah. So I thought that was really cool, because I was thinking, it, you know, he's just saying what the rest of us are like, "Oh dang, she's mad." And, you know, what does that anger, you know, lead to?
It leads to the destruction of an Imperial ship's what it leads to.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And so that's, you know, still having the wherewithal, the creativity to execute this, this kind of overpowering signal or whatever it is that she used to blow up this other ship. But it was cool to see that edge to her, that fight. That's what it is. It's like that really cool, like there was a fight to her, and she's been so under control and so leader-y, I guess is not a word, but it is now. She has been had that kind of mantle of leadership to where she can't really let go. And this time, somebody in her family, you know, this is her crew, this is her ship, and this is enough. This justifies her anger, and you mess with the wrong girl, you know? And so it was cool to see her kind of fight back. But not in that, kind of sassy Princess Leia-y kind of way, you know, where it was, "You got a plan for getting us in here. You got a plan for getting us out," like kind of like, you know, sarcasm. Yeah. It was straight ahead. Like, you mess with the wrong ship and the wrong droid, and, you know, hold on, cause I'm about to let you have it or whatever. I thought that was really cool. It reminded me of A New Dawn, the novel. So yeah. That was cool.
Oh no, yeah, it definitely did remind me of New Dawn as well. I mean, she held nothing back. I mean, she was calm, cool, collected through the whole thing. And then, of course, when she gets everything ready to go, she sits there and she gets everything hooked up with Chopper. gets the Imperials on the line. And then, of course, it's like no holds barred at that point. It was right. Hey, Imperial Slimo, keep your hands off my droid.
Yeah.
Then they start the feedback, and everything's starting to blow up around them, and they're trying to cut everything off, and then Hera comes back on, and she's like, say goodbye to your memory core.
and the whole time I'm thinking, this is a kid's show. This is a kid's show. And, you know, there's ships blowing up, and people are being electrocuted to death. I'm like, okay, there's still an element of, like, there's still that edge, that kind of, like, you know, Clone Wars season 3 through 6 kind of edge to it, you know. And that, you know, I can definitely see that the transition. I feel like in the Clone Wars cartoon, the last episode of season 2, the hostage crisis, it started to mature as far as, you know, with its audience, but it started to mature. And I'm starting to really see this series mature. And even, like, I consider, like, in the trailer, and I've heard it a couple times, that the Darth Maul screaming Kenobi's name, so dark. It's so dark and so intense. You're starting to see, like, that same place that we used to be, you know, midway or toward the end of the Clone Wars, we're starting to head there again, where there's a darker edge that's going to be. It seems to me, and now that we have season 4 confirmed, that's really cool. We get to see how far Filoni's going to push this one, this particular series. We're talking about ending this thing with a battle, you know, a huge battle. So, who knows where it's going to go? But go ahead.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. We don't know where it's going to go, and this is just the tip of the iceberg at this point. It's only going up from here. And
right.
It's the emotion, the raw emotion Hera was showing is just a glimpse of what's to come at this point. Because we're about to be, you know, edge of our seat for the fight that we've been waiting to see since the Clone Wars ended.
Right.
I mean, we've been waiting. Honestly, this is the Kenobi Maul fight I've wanted to see since Maul ran Satine through.
Right.
I mean,
good call. Yeah.
Vengeance is not a Jedi thing, but you know, Kenobi wants to get his hands on him.
Right.
Whether they were in a relationship or not, there was something there, and that was just, you know, ripped from him at that point, thanks to Mr. Maul. But that's for the next episode.
You get to talk about that next discussion.
Oh my gosh. I'm chomping at the bit for that one. That one's going to be a good episode. That one may end up being 4 hours, but who knows. But back to Secret, or not Secret Cargo, that was last week. Double Agent Droid.
Double Agent Droid.
Let's go ahead and wrap this episode up here, because it was just a lot of fun as this episode ended. They destroy the Imperial ship. Everything is good to go. And all of a sudden they realize AP-5 is not on board. He's out floating in space somewhere, so they have to go rescue him. And it cuts to AP-5. He's just floating through space.
Floating across the screen.
Across the screen. Everything's pitch black around him. The stars are shining. And all of a sudden, the little pink little creatures come floating up around him. And he is just so content. He is just so happy. And he breaks into song.
I love the I want to say cinematography, but it is that. I mean, they do consider each shot, and I'm sure they storyboard all of this stuff, but just that the shot of an empty shot of space, and then him AP entering the screen on the left, and just kind of, and then how he's caught, you actually hear him hit the back of the cargo hold, like metal clanking, like bank. My son and I, we always watch Rebels together, and we just, it's usually, we're eating lunch on Sunday, and it's, you know, soda, that, you know, that was funny. Soda blowing out of our nose, and it was so unexpected and cool. It was really good. I love that scene.
Oh yeah, it was priceless because he's floating through space and he starts singing his song about how wonderful and lovely and beautiful and simple. Then yeah. He sees the light from the front of the ghost coming.
Oh, no.
He's like, no, 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 no. Then it's just like a shark. Oh, you see you see the front of the cargo bay open as this ghost just flies through the screen and boom, he's gone. He's inside the ghost. And he is not too pleased to be there. And they bring him up back in and everybody's checking on him, and Chopper reels up and he says something, and AP5 looks at him and goes, "You're sorry, you must still be compromised." And all of a sudden you see Chopper just hands pop out and he starts wailing on Wedge and wailing on AP5 and chirps something as he wheels away. And he goes, "Oh, you're sorry for being nice, oh?" And of course Wedge is like, "That's it. I'm only working solo from now on."
I'm trying to remember. No more droids. Did he fly with a droid in A New Hope? I know Luke always talked to R2, but you know, I don't recall in Legends if Wedge, maybe I do. Like,
he would have had to have had an astromech in the
X-wing. Yeah,
would have had to have.
I remember it all on, you know, in all the toys, and I do somewhat in Legends. I think he actually had a name, but like they actually gave his droid a name, but you could tell he's learned his lesson, you know, kind of what we had talked about before. He's all right, no more droids. I got it, you know. So.
Oh, absolutely, and definitely, it was fun. So before we go into final thoughts and everything for this episode, we did get a couple emails, which I want to just touch on real quick as some fun things here. First one we got was from Mr. Alex Dunn. Alex wrote, "This episode made me love Hera even more. Never mess with Chop. Ha ha. It was interesting being introduced to a new subdivision of the Empire. For the so-called listeners of the Imperial Information Office, reminded me of the Transcript Media Solutions or Gorse surveillance team introduced in A New Dawn. Makes you wonder if the Empire created these listener groups as a result of the rebellion that occurred during the Gorse conflict. As some of for the comedic elements, hopefully they'll have AP5 song released as a full song, or maybe just a DVD bonus feature, if you're listening, Disney, Lucasfilm, I released a single. I'm sure it'll go to the top of the iTunes charts. I would be the first one to download it, absolutely. just make it a full album. AP5.
Oh, man.
AP5 and the droids.
I bought Jabba Flow. I'll buy that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be perfect. Steve Stanton, you can work on that too if you're listening. Sure. But yeah, definitely. That would be fun to see. He goes, "Don't know why the ghost, I don't know why, but I thought the way the ghost scooped up AP5 was hilarious. The poor guy never gets a break. It was overall a fun episode to watch. Can't wait to see Twin Sons. I am so ready." Thank you so much, Alex. Yeah, we're ready for Twin Sons 2, and as we just discussed, that pickup of AP5 was priceless. You can't get much better than that. Then we got an email from Andre Hutchins, who sent us some takeaways from his episode, or from this episode. His first takeaway was, "Wedge wants to use the refresher. The refresher. Star Wars character is actually using the bathroom." He goes, "Correct me if I'm wrong, but there has never been a bathroom scene in Star Wars until now. Yes, we saw Agent Kallus use a sink, but this was the very next level." Very funny scene too. And I do want to say I agree with you, because you know, we do have, it is completely next level, because you do hear a zipper sound effect in there as well. quite interesting there. His second takeaway, of course, was an Imperial controller wearing glasses. I've never seen glasses used in the Star Wars galaxy either. Makes this character seem like he hailed from planet Earth. Ha ha ha. Yeah, you know, definitely this has been a big deal online lately. It's everybody talking about glasses and this and that. You know, I don't think we've had a character on screen predominantly like this, like he's been wearing glasses. There are a lot of people saying, no, they're not. There's been other characters, and they showed pictures. But most of what they've shown have been more goggles. They showed a picture of Han wearing goggles when he was working on the Falcon. Picture right. of Hondo Ohnaka and his goggles that he wears, right. and so forth, and a few others. But those were more goggles. This may actually be the first actual pair of glasses that we've actually seen. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me and give me a point of reference so I could go back and find it and actually see it. But Kevin, from what I remember seeing, this is the first literally pair of glasses. Not goggles, yeah. glasses that we've seen.
It also is also cool how they kind of designed, like, because the glasses kind of slid into the apparatus. It was that, you know, the interfaces around his head. Mm-hmm. So it actually interrupted there's like a notch on both sides of his head for those glasses to fit, exactly. you know, back where his ear was supposed to, you know, it's supposed to still hook around the ear. And so it kind of inserted into that little apparatus. So it was designed that way, which is kind of cool. I wonder the significance of the glasses thing, but it's still pretty cool. I mean, we have someone, you know, we have someone in canon that's blind. True. So, you know, why not have someone that has, you know, a different, different circumstance or, I didn't really, when I saw the glasses, I didn't really think that I was like, oh, that guy's got glasses. I didn't think it was that much of a thing, but apparently, yeah. apparently that is. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a big deal either, but apparently it is a big deal. So, yeah. But yes, he does have glasses.
Yes.
As do I. So, all right. And of course, Andre finishes up saying, my last thought is what AP5 said while speaking to himself, something very revealing about the Empire and their disposition toward droids, in that they never took droids seriously. Just more evidence of the elitism of superiority complex of the Empire and the bigotry toward non-human entities in the galaxy. And right. you're dead on, because he did mention that when he's everybody's ignoring him on board the Ghost about what happened to about something being wrong with AP5 or with Chopper, and right. he does bring that up, and definitely it is an interesting insight into how droids are viewed, not only in the Empire but also in the fact of how droids are viewed even in the Rebellion, because they really were writing AP5 off for the longest time till they actually could saw something wrong with Chopper themselves. But yeah, it definitely gives an interesting view on that whole social dynamic between the humans and aliens and droids at that point.
Yep, yep.
So definitely thank you so much, Andre. Thank you so much, Alex, for sending those emails in. Let's go ahead and wrap up our discussion, of course, here okay. on this episode of Double okay. Agent Droid. Final thoughts, Randy, final thoughts on Double Agent Droid.
I love the episode. I had a lot of fun watching it with my son. Just how even how AP walked out of the cargo hold and onto the top of the ship, just kind of stepped in a kind of Doctor Strange kind of way, just kind of stepping around the edge because he had those magnetic feet. The hint of the musical going on early on, and then having your you know, I guess your funny bone, having that comic moment of AP5 singing was so cool. I enjoyed it. I do feel that it was unfortunate that it was after such an intense episode. Maybe it wasn't given a fair shake, you know, by you know, adult viewers, because, you know, you were looking for the conclusion of that, or looking for the continuation of that intense storyline that we were left with last week. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed having Wedge be a part of it. I enjoyed I love the AP5 character. So it was really fun to watch. And I too cannot wait for next week, but not at the expense of enjoying, you know, this week's episode. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I thought it was a really fun episode. I thought it was really good to have kind of a palate cleanser, you know, and some comic relief before we get into some pretty heavy stuff. I'm wondering if this is the last more like younger focused, you know, like kids centered episode before we get into Darth Maul and Obi-Wan's fight and, you know, the battle over Lothal and all that kind of more grown-ups, you know, theme, you know. Yeah. So I guess I would call it kind of not a filler at all. I would call it kind of a palate cleanser, like, hold on, get buckled in because Awesome's on its way. Let me just bring a smile to your face before we hit you with some heavy stuff. So that's my thoughts.
And I agree with every word you said. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. It was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. It did, in my opinion, advance the story because they did secure the codes they need for the attack on Lothal. So it definitely is something that we're going to see, probably not in the next episode, the Twin Sun episode, but the finale, which is coming up. So I think that's going to have a direct impact on that. So definitely it was a great episode, a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed seeing the Chopper AP5 combo again. They're always fun to see those two interact. I just love seeing Chopper on screen, period. So
and yeah,
he always makes me laugh no matter what it is. But seeing those two together is a very Laurel and Hardy-ish feel to me. I love it. So a lot of fun there. The whole musical number at the end, I know a lot of people had issue with it. I didn't. I enjoyed it. It just added another laugh to a season that's been very intense throughout the pretty much all 10. If you sit back and look at it, this whole season has been very, very intense, very edge of your seat. So we needed a break before we go into probably the two most serious episodes of the season. So definitely I'm glad we did this. I'm glad they released this episode. It was a lot of fun. Now when it comes to grading the episode, this is probably, you know, as much as I enjoyed the episode compared to what we've had throughout this season and what we've had season past, definitely still not the greatest episode that we've had out there, even though it was Chopper based. I'd probably have to give this a B, based on everything. I mean, it didn't have the edge of the seat goodness like the series season two finale, Twilight of the Apprentice. It didn't have the emotional connection like the Last Battle episode did, but it was still a great episode. But it definitely, I would have to give it a B. How about you, Randy? Why would you grade the episode?
I would say it's a C. It wasn't, it wasn't a fail by any means. I think because it was a little bit of a rest, you know, for us. I think it wasn't meant to be, it wasn't meant to be a home run, maybe a ground rule double, and we'll move on to the rest of the finale or the conclusion of this season. I think it was meant to be that kind of a rest before crazy breaks out, but I would give it a solid C.
Excellent. Perfect. And definitely we want to hear what you think about the episode as well. Don't hesitate to send us your emails telling us what you think and what your grades are. Send those in at rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. those emails will get you entered into our Rebel prize pack giveaway, which is still going on, folks. Mm-hmm. We are rapidly approaching the deadline. The last day to get your thoughts in on, get your entries in is March 20th, which is just around the corner here. So after the Twin Sun episode, you have 2 days, you have Sunday and Monday to get your thoughts in. So by noon, Eastern Standard Time on March 20th, get us your emails telling us what you think of the episodes. Of course, we only have, after this one, we only have Twin Suns left, so get us your thoughts on Twin Suns to get entered in the drawing. It is a growing prize pack right now, as we have the two action figures I've mentioned before, the Kanan and Stormtrooper and the Sabine Wren three-quarter inch figures. We have the recently added Rebels Hot Wheel car in there. We have the Ahsoka Tano Pop Hot Topic exclusive Funko Pop in there. That's coming, and we have a new piece going in. We have a one of the larger. It's not this 3 3/4 inch, but it's the fifth brother figure. It's not cool. The 3 3/4 inch, but it's like the 12 inch figure. Cool. So we got him in. He's going into the prize pack. And there's still more coming. I'm waiting on an order to come in to throw some more stuff in there. So get your stuff in there. Oh, I forgot the poster. We have the Saw Gerrera Rebels poster from the beginning of from Christmas when we broke the news of Saw coming to Rebels. That poster is in the mix as well as part of this prize pack. So get your entries in. You're running out of time. The drawing is coming up, and I'll give you more details on that soon. But a lot of stuff going on. Randy, of course, if people want to continue talking Star Wars with you, what is the best way to do that, sir?
Well, you can reach us at legendslibrary@coffeewithkenobi.com. You can also reach us through Twitter, at Legends Library. I am a Star Wars card trading app user. So RANDTHYE is my username. I collect only Ahsoka cards. I have a pretty stout collection of Ahsoka cards. So anything that I have that is not Ahsoka is up for grabs. So I've got a lot of the new Rogue One cards. I've got some inserts and different things I'm willing to give up. I've got all, you know, like pink and bronze cards. I'm willing to trade anything for Ahsoka cards, and I'm really generous. And those that have traded with me in the past will attest to that. That I'm really generous. If there's a card that I'm looking for, I typically overpay for it. if it's got Ahsoka's face or name on it, I want it. So please send the trades. Let them flow in. Spam me with some trades. So, other than that, I think if you have an opportunity, please check out our latest episode. We introduced the first stage or the first part in the New Jedi Order. We're doing 3 books at a time. One of the hardcovers and 2 of the paperback versions. Because we have 18 books to get through in that particular series, and that's either going to be really cool or the death of Legends Library. No one will listen anymore because that's typically it's such a risk, Aaron, because that's typically the thing that keeps people from reading any further. And the cool thing is the bummer deal is the rest of Legends is so cool, especially the Legacy of the Force series that happens right after that. But in order to get to that, we had to tackle somehow, some way, eventually we were going to have to get here. And we're tackling the New Jedi Order series. So we just posted our first episode on Vector Prime and the Dark Tide series. And now we are working on part 2. Which concludes with Balance Point, which will be the second of the hardcovers in that particular series. But it's going to be a long one. But we're having fun. I'm getting reacquainted with this series, and I'm really having a fun time listening to those audiobooks. So, Luke and I would appreciate anybody checking out Rebels Reaction to check out Legends Library as well.
Definitely do that. Check out Legends Library on the. You can find the episodes there on iTunes, or of course in the there are coffeewithkenobi.com. After you check out Legends Library, check out our other shows too. We got Comics with Kenobi for all you comic lovers out there. Lattes with Leia is right. There for the fangirls. So it's just a fun episode to listen to. And Dr. Andrea and Amy are just fun people to listen, banter back and forth about their coffees and their beverages, mm-hmm. as well as Star Wars too. Then of course we have the flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi, with Dan Z and Corey Club. So definitely check that out as we're going into celebration. A lot of fun things going on coming up too. So check that out. If you want to, of course, connect with the show, Rebels Reactions, we're on Twitter at Rebels Reactions. Or if you just want to connect with me myself, best way, of course, on Twitter at TA Harris 1279. Or, of course, email me aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. I don't know why every time I say coffee with Kenobi, I have to jump into a Kenobi voice. Coffee with Kenobi. Happens all the time. I don't know why. But, yeah, email me. Hit me up on Twitter. Best way to do that. And, of course, definitely we just want to thank everybody for listening. A lot of our fellow shows on the Coffee with Kenobi Network, including this one, of course, have been nominated for the Star Wars Podcast Awards. So check those out, folks. There's a lot of great shows are involved in that, that deserve your votes. So make sure you take some time to vote in the 2017 awards. Other than that, of course, Randy, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. It's always fun to talk Star Wars with you and get reacquainted again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I will do this anytime.
I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Rebels Reactions. Twin Suns is coming up. We're going to have a fun discussion on that. So when it airs, get your thoughts in. But sit back and enjoy. Have fun. Because we are wrapping up quickly to the end of this season, and it's going to be just a wild train ride since all the way to the end. So, just buckle your seatbelts and enjoy the ride, folks. We are going to have some fun. So, thank you so much for listening to Rebels Reactions. Remember, this is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre 1. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.